At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties. And they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, January 19th, 2023. It is the Beating the Book podcast, Megabod Division Round. Oh, I love these games way too much. This is concerning. It's Gil Alexander, live from the South Point. Thanks for joining us. Of course, here in studio with me, the staples of the show, pillars of the show, Jeff Parlay, VSiN host, joins me to my right. How you doing, man?
I'm good. It's roughly 8,000 degrees in the studio today.
Yeah, there's that. Ladies, we could be shirtless by the end of this show.
That's not good for anybody.
Of course, that's why it's a podcast, and we only have one video clip. But you know, speaking of shirtless, Todd Wishnev, everybody, to my distant right. Todd Wishnev, a USTA tennis rating of 4.25, he says.
I didn't say it. A guy who is USTA rated at 4.0 or 4.5 said statement, not me. But okay.
Well, no, it makes me feel better because I can't solve you. So if you're a 4.25, I feel better about myself.
I'm pretty good, Gil. I'm not that bad.
Okay. Anyway,
no, I'm not going to be good much longer because I continue to get fatter and fatter.
Well,
and yes. Cannot stop eating after my 111 pound weight loss. It's gone the wrong way in 78 days. And
how much have you gained back
in
78 days?
Very, very disconcerting.
How much have you gained back?
55 plus.
Okay, but don't you have a new bet with Fezzik where you're now going to start losing?
I had a bet. We made another bet that on May 11th, we would have target weights of me at 205 and him at 190. Yeah. And if one of us was below and one of us was above, they would owe the other one 1,500.
Okay.
And right now, I'm in big danger on that bet. Big, big danger.
Don't be Luther Vandross. It's a serious subject. Let's get this together.
It's a disaster.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us for the division round playoff, we always do the all-star team here during the postseason. We had Drew on last week. Our favorites, it's no knock on the others who don't make it. We just don't have enough playoff weeks to do. But Adam Chernoff is kind enough to join us again. The Sybil Handicap ends next week because he does it during football season. But, of course, he works at Right Angle Sports these days. How you doing, Adam?
Doing well. The pressure and burden of the guest spot is upon me. So hopefully I'll tide over for another week here.
Do you remember how you did on your three picks this year when you came on?
I can't remember if it was 2-1 or 3-0, but it was good. Yeah. I held over.
Adam's
I
like,
can go back and look.
I can't remember if I was perfection or near perfection. I can't remember. Yeah, no, you had a great week. The guest spot trailed all of us this year, right?
The guest spot won teasers, but was last in the regular.
That is
picks.
Correct.
You remember what week he was? I can look it up if you want.
I want to say it was week four.
He was
three.
Early.
He was early.
He's early.
Yeah.
Adam was early in the year.
I'll scroll.
Our court stenographer over here, Todd Wishnev, has the records. Adam, great to have you. You are broadcasting from where? Canada? Where are you now?
Yeah, still Western Alberta. The wife's Canadian passport just came through yesterday, so we now have some freedom to maneuver after waiting for 6 years to get that sorted.
So are you going to move to the United States of America? Is this going to happen?
it's really not easy to move full time just because of the paperwork and everything that goes into it, but certainly looking to spend some good time down there.
Okay. He's going to have a pied de terre is what he's going to have. I believe that's the French. I'm sure I botched that, by the way.
I don't know where you were going with that, but that's
you never heard that expression.
That doesn't sound like me.
No, that's you got yourself a little you know second home, a little winter home or summer home, whatever called. Yeah,
I'm into that. That's for sure.
Well, listen, glad to have you, and I'll stick by what I said at the top, which is I am very concerned that I love these games too much. It is rare that I come in here and say, "Oh my God, I love these," and a lot of this has to do with line movement that I did not see coming, specifically the Niners line going down all the way to 3.5. And of course, the Bengals, we do it from the South Point here at the tip of the strip. The South Point is a 6 on the Buffalo Bills. I guessed 2.5 on Monday, and it came out at 4.5 and went the other direction. I am shocked by both of these. And so I hope I'm not oppo you on these, but we'll get to our best bets. We'll get to all the standard questions, and Adam has some prop bets he wants to add as well. Last week, we all went 1-1, me, you, and Jeff, Todd.
I believe so. Jeffrey, did you see what we went?
We all went 1-1.
We all went 1-1. We all had one very good bet and one very not so good bet.
And the teasers, let's see, Jags.
I lost mine.
Todd and I lost on the Bills.
I lost. Yeah. I lost.
But we both won our teasers.
Yeah, I lost mine because of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are thankfully not playing this week.
I was saying off air. I half expect someone to come on the show, either on a numbers game or on this, and be like, "I really like Tampa Bay this week," and I'm gonna have to tell them they're no longer playing football, and you can't do that anymore.
Thank goodness, in all honesty, after that debacle on Monday.
Let me ask you this, Adam, because before we get into all this,
sure.
And by the way, who's the dumbbell of the week? It's the Chargers.
It's the Chargers. Yeah, there's no arguing.
There's no arguing that. We don't even have to go through the gory details.
No, but I think everyone knows what happened.
Now. Yeah, and Brandon Staley's still the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. But I want to ask you about the Buccaneers, because it's not about, oh, this person was right, this person was wrong. Do you agree with me that there was, and I don't think I'm being prisoner of the moment, that there was no team quite like this in terms of having such a just a disparity of opinions on. Some people thought they stunk. Some people, week after week after week, and the betting market reflected this. When I could come in on Monday on guessing lines, I guessed the Bucs line wrong week after week after week after week because I thought they stunk. And most of the time, I was right on it. But I guess what I'm saying is, has there ever been a team that you remember has had that kind of a strange stubbornness in the betting market, that there's this like muscle memory on, well, it's Tom Brady, he's going to be great, he's always been great, so he's going to be great again, they're getting players back. And yet what was on the football field was so different from that opinion.
I'm trying to have something come from mind, because I feel like there was something in the last couple of years where it was week after week, but like the examples that really jump out were, for the most part, like 2 years ago, the Eagles were getting bet blindly every single week and nobody really knew why. And then that's kind of come to fruition. I'd say maybe the Vikings to an extent this season, just in how divided it was between whether or not people thought the record was actually real or not, but that kind of faded late season. But you're right in that the Bucs, like every week it was something different with them. So
yeah,
I don't remember it for as long as it has been, but there may be a couple teams for like 2 month spans within the season. But yeah, the Bucs, that was a weird season all the way around for that team.
Because I really believe that if we did the year in NFL betting review show, that's the headline: the stubbornness of the betting market when it came to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who just got absolutely housed by the Cowboys. And in what was whatever the opposite of a classic game is.
I think it reminds me, actually, I'll go to a different sport for what it reminds me of. Many times we would have like Yankees have a big season and sign a bunch of guys, and then they play like crap for the first 2 months of the year, but people keep betting them because they're supposed to be good.
It
happens in baseball a lot in the early season when you have like some World Series winner and then they just, you know, lay an egg for like months on end.
I almost feel like with that example, and you're right, but I almost feel like with that example, it's baseball, and so most people aren't even watching most of it. They like tune in and out, right? Whereas football, Everyone's watching it every week. You see it in front of your face. Oh, the Panthers, who we thought were the worst team in the NFL, just destroyed you, right? Like week after week of that. I'm literally screaming at Rufus, right? I'm like, stop with that shit. Like, stop.
Well, I just meant it on people continuing to bet a team based on reputation.
Yes.
No, versus
100%.
You're 100%
right.
Action.
Yeah. Hey, really, Gil, I think it also too, and look, this is, I was on Tampa last week, and as soon as Dallas grabbed the lead and after Brady threw that horrible pick, I knew I was dead.
Yeah.
It just one of those where we have seen Tom Brady year after year after year, especially at the end in New England, where the team that beat the Rams is one of the worst teams New England ever had.
And we saw him those two comebacks this year.
Correct. We saw the comeback against New Orleans. I don't even want to talk about the Ram one. Ram one was idiocy. But
they should have been a 6-11.
Right. They should have been 6-11. Yeah. And sometimes you just can't get the past out of your head with Brady. And you know what?
Put that.
I paid for it on Monday.
Stuck for a season. Yeah. Anyway,
whole season.
One more thing too with the Bucks was it was kind of like the falling knife sort of situation all season, where people knew like Bowles was having issues, Leftwich was continuing to run on first down, and it was like almost an assumption that the coaches would sort that out. It's like, how long can they keep making these really, really bad decisions?
Yeah.
And I think a lot in betting is knowing what the coaches are actually going to do versus assuming they're going to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of this was just an assumption that they would sort things out after just making so many mistakes, and they just never did. They just kept doing the same thing.
Such
all
a
year.
Great point. Matt Brown talks about it a lot. The assumption of good coaching. And you know what they say about assuming. Yeah. Byron Leftwich, by the way, fired this morning by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay. So the dumbbell thing, obviously, again, 27-0 lead, the third biggest comeback in playoff history, the fifth biggest comeback in the history of the NFL, where the Jaguars come all the way back. And by the way, Doug Peterson, I can't like praise enough the way that Trevor Lawrence, after four picks, was just, they were just measured in that comeback. But there were so many things, right? The number of passing plays that the Chargers decided to call by design as opposed to running the clock. There was a 3rd-and-1 when they were up 27 late in the first half where they do this jet sweep and they fumble. Yeah. Like, then they had to punt and the Jaguars scored their first touchdown in the first half. There's little things that we don't even remember besides the more obvious ones late. And the biggest thing is, again, the 4th-and-3. And this was my point about Brandon Staley this week, which was, you know, Al Michaels and Tony Dungy, when they finally woke up, were like, oh, this is a big decision for Doug Peterson. Do you take this penalty and make it 3rd-and-13, but it's still field goal range, or keep the 4th-and-3? What they didn't bring up, because they were still half asleep, was, no, the bigger decision now is for Brandon Staley. 4th-and-3, he decides to kick a field goal and they miss. It was 30-20 at the time. And my point was, and this was like, I said this on a numbers game, boys and girls, and this has to do with beyond football. If you're going to succeed or fail in life, do it true to your own constitution. And that was the biggest crime for me for Brandon Staley. That 2021 Brandon Staley would have gone for that 100% of the time. But whatever seeped into him over the last year, whether it was criticism of the media, criticism of a fan base, whatever it was, he's like, I'm kicking the field goal. And I don't think that him last year would have ever considered doing it that way. And that, to me, is his biggest crime.
Well, that's the thing. Peterson didn't even hesitate to decline the penalty.
Yeah.
Where last year, it would have been a full discussion. Hey, the referee's going to come over to the sideline. Peterson's going to be on the headset with all of his assistants saying, hey, what do we all think we should do here? And that was kind of the moment, too, where it's like, all right, he is so certain Staley's going to send out Dicker to kick. And as soon as he sent the kicker out, I said to my fiance who was watching the game with me.
Oh, fiance.
Yeah. They're missing this kick. He's missing this kick. He's been perfect the whole year. This is a perfect go-for-it scenario, especially last year.
Yeah. And I guess I mentioned it on Guessing Lines, too. And then when Bosa throws the tantrum. Correct. Yeah. By the way, he was right. It was a false start, and then he did get held.
Yep.
But again, kindergarten, two wrongs don't make a right, I believe I was told.
That's right.
When he slams the helmet, Brandon Staley gets the helmet and hands it back to Bosa, and then he slams it again. And my thing was like, you think Bill Parcells would have picked up the helmet and just handed it to him? And no.
I just remember when it was 27-0, they looked like they were in prevent on the last drive of the first half.
They were.
It kind of looked a little soft, the touchdown to get to 27-7. I remember thinking to myself, wow, that seemed like a soft touchdown. Like, what's that all about? And then
that's interesting.
And I just, I mean, I didn't end up betting on it because I had the over. I was just rooting for the over the whole time. But I remember thinking that was a little bit soft. These teams get a little too fat and happy. But I do want to talk about something on in-game that was really interesting about what – I forget who brought it up on Twitter or somewhere in the media. They were talking about how we don't make any adjustments at halftime. All this talk about
Peyton brought it up.
Peyton Manning said, never in my whole career did we ever make any adjustments at halftime. And Bill Belichick supposedly once said, well, why would we wait till halftime to make an adjustment if we were going to make adjustments? There's a whole talk about this week. I don't know if you didn't see
I didn't see it
reaction.
At all.
Peyton
Manning said on the Manning cast, in my whole career or something in the NFL, in the halftime, we never made any adjustments. So this whole thing about adjustments at halftime. Anyways, it's interesting that he said it because I once did a little bit of a look through of many years worth of games where you do better. Like if a dog is playing really well at the half, and then of course they make the favorite a little bit more juiced up because they think the favorite's coming back, you actually will do better just staying with the dog at halftime, betting the dog at halftime, even though you're getting a worse number supposedly. Like let's say, one team's +9 and they're even at half or something, or they're up by 3 at half, and you're only, at that point you're getting 6, and you're getting 3 for the game, and you're actually better off taking the dog. I think like 55% of the time you're going to end up winning that with the dog, meaning that the favorite doesn't come back as much as you would expect them to.
You're correlating those two things, that Manning said they made no adjustments.
That's what came to my mind as soon as I heard that.
Interesting.
Because I remember thinking, well, first of all, NFL halftime, maybe in college it's different because there's more time at halftime.
25 minutes in college.
Yeah, in NFL games, there's really not a lot of time. They said, we would go in, somebody else I saw them say, we would go and have a drink of orange juice or have an orange or something,
and then go to the bathroom
and then go back out. There's just not enough time.
I have so much to say about this.
I have the full quote from Peyton real quick. You kind of merged.
I'm sorry.
You're good.
Wait,
you mean
Todd wasn't accurate?
Is no, he was. He just...
okay, see, now that kind of aspersion right there is what really gets me angry. Especially when I'm extremely accurate in the genre of what I'm talking about.
So here's what Peyton said. Peyton said this after Tampa went 3-and-out on the opening drive of the second half the other night, all right? I don't know if I have ever made a halftime adjustment in my entire 18-year career. I think it's the biggest myth in football, the halftime adjustments. You go in, you use the restroom, you eat a couple of oranges, and then the head coach says, all right, let's go.
Yeah, because you're Peyton Manning.
So
that's
why. I don't think there's enough time, actually.
There is only 11 minutes at halftime. But
Adam, please chime in on this. What do you think?
On Twitter were agreeing with him. Like Schwartz was agreeing with him and other NFL players were agreeing with him.
Oh, I have so much to say.
No. By the way, I'm not saying what I'm saying. I'm just giving you all the facts.
Yes.
Other NFL people were agreeing with Peyton. Now go ahead, Adam.
Every NFL team is three different teams. There's who they are as a whole, who they are when they're trailing, and who they are when they're leading. And the play calling, pass run rate, how they play defense just varies so drastically in the second half, depending on what the scoreline is. And it's actually incredibly consistent
for
coaches and teams.
I don't know if that's what we're talking about. Like, I agree with you.
Could you let him finish his thought?
I'm sorry, but go ahead.
Well, no, but where I was going was, I don't think it's a halftime thing. I think it's just a situational thing in the second half where we have this way of sort of isolating a team to or a coach to doing one specific thing in a second half because we see it happen so infrequently, where you have a 27-point lead in the second half in a game everybody's watching, and that kind of sticks with us. But when you look back, like teams treat these situations under their coaches or coordinators extremely similar, no matter who's quarterbacking, no matter who's what team or what matchup it is, it's just who these coaches and coordinators are. So, and I don't know if that gets talked about enough.
Well, I agree with that statement, but I don't think that's exactly what Peyton is getting. I agree 100% with you that when they're up 21, they're almost all doing the same thing and all that kind of nonsense. But I think what Peyton is kind of saying is that we're not going to a whole new game plan or something.
I think your point is a valid one because as you relate it to in-game betting, that maybe we overrate that kind of thing. I guess what I would just like to add, and I guess everybody can predict what's about to come from me, is most of these guys, first of all, in Peyton Manning's case, I wouldn't tell Peyton Manning what to change either. I'd be like, Peyton, do your thing at the Omaha, whatever the fuck you're doing. Ad lib when you need.
Yeah,
you know,
but you might think they would say to him, like.
But here's the thing. I think most of these guys, Todd, are playing for very middle of the road cookie cutter coaches who actually don't have the ability on the fly to change a game plan. And let me just go back to the greatest example of all time and the greatest coach there ever was. Joe Gibbs and Richie Pettibone, when the Redskins were winning three Super Bowls, used to come out after the half as a completely different football team when they were getting crushed. Why? Because they were fucking football geniuses who saw what was going on in the field and could do that shit. But most people aren't them.
Okay.
Right? Those are Hall of Fame Mount Rushmore coaches. So it's probably, everything is probably true. It is probably overrated because a very small fraction of these guys can actually do it.
Right.
And so maybe you're right. Maybe there is some in-game correlation.
Now, by the way, I'm sure that the smart coaches are saying, hey, all week we were preparing that our corners weren't going to be up and jamming the receivers.
We
but they
wrong.
Are. So instead of running the drag, let's run the post or whatever those kind of adjustments are.
Gibbs said they would throw out the game plan they worked on all week all the time.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, I don't know that everybody was Joe Gibbs.
That's my, and I agree with it. And I agree with that. And that's why I think your statement is correct generally, probably, right? Where it's,
but I'm not making a statement.
You're correlating it to in-game. I think there is some smarts to that. In the case of Peyton Manning, though, it's like, yeah, you're Peyton Manning. Like, you've got it figured out. I'm not like he's probably not the best reporter of that.
Okay, well, when the Saints are playing the Carolina Panthers, and one team is a 6-point favorite, and it's the dog is winning by 3, you know, don't just jump head over heels at the favorite's coming back. That's all I'm trying to say.
This dovetails into the Sean Payton thing, where Sean Payton's asking for $20, $25 million a year, and God bless him, I hope he gets it for him. But, like, to me, again, and this is where you get misquoted, but I just want people to hold two thoughts in their heads at the same time. I'm sure Sean Payton is a very good coach. I'm sure he's one of the best coaches of his generation. But like this whole thing where they're
going to
trade two first-round draft picks and pay him $20, $25 million. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I missed where
Sean Payton
won 5 Super Bowls.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just want to say
I agree.
Let the hate wash over me, Adam. Sorry about that.
Hey.
Sean Payton's, you know, where it was, Sean Payton's worth $100 million in comparison to Hackett, though.
To Hackett.
And by the way, they have those Microsoft Surfaces they're looking at constantly anyways, every drive.
You know what I remember from the first show?
You actually knew the name of that product, Todd?
Gentlemen, you know what I remember from the first show with Adam Chernoff? That I didn't hear enough from Adam Chernoff.
Adam,
do you know why I didn't hear enough from Adam Chernoff? Because you can't stop.
Oh, here we go. I just brought up a great topic.
It was a great topic.
Thank
you did great.
It was a good topic. I just think that it's a tough thing to get inside of a locker room and anticipate what's going to happen. And I always just lean towards knowing who these coaches are and what the coordinators do, depending on the scoreline. That to me is quite predictable.
But do you agree with me, Adam, that you're probably, like, all things being equal, the idea that the favorite's going to come back is not necessarily, it's actually not as predictive as maybe the dog continuing to do what they were doing?
Sounds right to me.
Well, I think it especially depends on like what the advantage is that they've sort of uncovered in that first half. If it's like a physical O-line advantage and they're having success running, like you're not really able to change that in the second half. If it's a spot where it's aided by turnovers and luck, it's probably quite different. But yeah, no, for sure.
That's
I would say
point.
That there's things that you can see in a first half that are advantages that you're not going to be able to adjust to in the second half because it's something on field. So I think there's definitely truth to that.
And we've talked about, you know, in games being derivative of full game lines and pre-flop lines anyway, and they can't adjust as quickly and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it just comes down to you're always looking, as far as I'm concerned, you're always looking in game at how the narrative is not playing out the way the pregame line was. Like I always talk about in college basketball, if it's a 125 total, but they're running and they're gunning, the game is not playing the way it was supposed to be played.
And it ain't going to change on a dime.
And the in-game is not going to be able to be fixed by it.
That's
if
right.
the Cowboys were supposed to be able to run and they can't run, you know what I mean? It's the same idea.
Yep. A very
and where
point.
People get caught with that is they're not looking for what's happening during the game most times. They're looking at what the closing number was and thinking that it's still married together. And so they're worried about taking a worse price, Todd, like you're mentioning with the dog. When it's not a worse price, it's the price at the time that you're looking to bet it based on the scoreline and how much time is left in the game. And I think that latter point gets ignored.
That's a great, that is such a great point, what Adam just made. There are so many people that will say, you're taking the over 171? Are you crazy? The original line was 149. Sir, the original line still is 149. The amount of time that's left is why it's 171. I'm not taking 171. It's such a great point, Adam.
All right, let's start with our best bets, and we'll work in your props as well. But Adam, I'll say it again. I like these games way too much, and I'm praying that you are not oppo me on any of these. And let me just say, I shortchange Adam Chernoff, because when I say, oh, he's got the simple handicap, which is going off, he's the right angle sports. When Adam puts out an opinion on an NFL game, we'll see it here on a numbers game. We'll like have lines move in front of us, and we'll be like, what's going on with this line? Oh, Chernoff just said he was on it. That happens a lot during the show. So let me just give you your street cred as well, Adam. What is your first best bet, sir?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
So I'll go Eagles -7.5. And it's the best bet will come in the teaser side. And I think everyone knows where we're going with this. Mm-hmm. But to me, this number is the same price that we were at when this game was played in New York just a few weeks ago, is the last real game we saw the Eagles play before the end of the season. Injuries and sort of situation dialed everything back. But that game closed 7.5 in New York. And usually when you see a situation like this, you're looking at an adjustment. And so there's two reasons that I can see that with the venue change, the Eagles coming off of the bye, that we would not see an adjustment. And the first is the health of Jalen Hurts, who's not 100%. I don't think, based on what he is saying, it's as bad as it's being made out to be. And the second would be what we just saw last from the Giants, which was an impressive game against a really, really bad Minnesota Vikings defense. And so if either one of those two things are true, or it's that Hurts is not as injured as it is being made out to be, and the Giants are not as good as they looked against the Vikings when they step up and play a really good Eagles team, if either one of those are true, this number has to be short at 7.5. Because if we knew Hurts was healthy, this has to be 10 minimum, does it not? Like, to me, at 7.5 here, we're at a pretty short number.
I love it.
This is my.
It's not one. It's not one.
It's one of my two.
It's yours too.
It's one of my two. I agree with Adam. I think that the Eagles, this, I love to bet teams that were like the, you know, underdog darlings. Oh, they've played over their heads and blah blah blah, and now they played over their heads against Minnesota, but they didn't really, because me, you, and Jeff are a better defense than Minnesota. And
how open were those Giants wide receivers?
It's embarrassing. The Minnesota defense is not even a defense. It's the worst defense I've ever seen.
I knew they were bad. I did not think they were that bad.
They're just, it's
the Eagles, the Giants would like have five play 80-yard drives against. I'm like,
but how many times they drag the receiver over the middle and he throws it to him and the guy could just run for 100 yards? And even on the last play that should have ended the game,
Slayton at 20 yards,
when he dropped the ball.
By the way, we did our eulogy for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. May we just give our eulogy for the Minnesota Vikings? Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders, refusing to call them fraudulent, calling them historically interesting. But they were 27th in DVOA, the ninth worst team by his numbers to ever make the postseason, dating all the way back to 1981. And, goodbye.
And
14-3.
And just to finish up on
or 13-4.
13-4.
13-4.
On the Eagles. But the I when teams are like these up-and-comer teams that like all of a sudden they're overplaying, they're over, and then all of a sudden they become the favorite, then they lose, you know, because they're playing somebody good. It's a similar idea as this week. The Giants, oh, my God, Brian Daboll, he's a genius. Okay, now you're going to go into a buzzsaw, and you're going to get your head ripped off because the first time these two teams played, the only time, because the last week of the season wasn't a real game,
yeah,
it was 48-22. Okay, that was dominance. And I also like the team total under for the Giants, which was probably going to be, if it's, let's see, 24, 20, 20 and a half or something like that. I don't see the Giants scoring three touchdowns in this game. I like the Giants
I also
too.
Since you bring up Daboll.
No, he did a great job. Don't get me wrong.
I'm on an island with this, I feel like. Like, Daboll, he did a great job, right? They have no talent. They obviously had a great year. However, when they were 7-2, which is where they made most of their hay, if you look at the analytics of what they did on first and second down versus what happened on third down, both offensively and defensively, if you look at what happened outside of the red zone versus inside the red zone offensively and specifically defensively, like, they were on the right side of so much. And people immediately draw the line to Daboll. And I'm like, come on. Great job, yes. But, like, let's not make him out to be the greatest coach alive. Let's give him another year or two.
They go crazy on the one side, and they go crazy on the other side. Yeah. Like, oh, Staley, get him fired immediately before the...
Maybe
he should be fired.
Staley should have been fired the week before.
Okay, but my point is, like, on every guy, it's like, oh, he's fired. Oh, he's the greatest. Oh, he's fired. Yeah. It's like never ending with this. And I'm sure...
Whatever the Giants season win total... What do you think the Giants season win total is going to be next year, Adam? 9.5?
Eight and a half.
Yeah, 8.5.
Yeah.
Give
me the under.
8.5.
Something I'll say too about that Daboll spot was it was pretty advantageous. They played the Vikings Christmas Eve. So those two guys saw a bad defense that they had a lot of success against in the first game throwing. And like they just made a couple minor tweaks to the game plan and basically did the exact same thing and walked up and down the field again. So that rematch factor, I think, mattered because of what they did that first game, where they just couldn't get the ball in the end zone, but they were moving it without issues. They obviously have the rematch for the third time against the Eagles, but they've had no success either time. And both of those game plans, one, they sat everyone so you can throw out, but that first game was the best of what the Giants had and didn't have anything. So I don't know what they go to for this matchup.
So Eagles the Giants scored garbage time touchdowns in that game.
It was 15. It was 15 in the second half. Game was already over.
Yeah, the game was like 27-7 at halftime. Something ridiculous. Yeah,
Eagles and Eagles to start it out. Jeffrey Parlay.
I'm not touching that game from the regular perspective. I do think that Adam already brought it up. The Eagles in a teaser, I think, will probably be in everyone's teaser.
Everybody should have the exact same teaser.
Yeah, I think everyone should this week. Yeah. All right. You know what? I don't love this card as much as you do. Gil,
You're probably better off.
Yeah, but I have a feeling you and I are going to end up on two of the same picks this week. Pick number one is the San Francisco 49ers.
Me too.
Yeah, so we're going to lay the 4 with the Niners.
I think it's 3.5, isn't it?
Is there 3.5 still?
Oh, I see a lot of 4.
Okay, yeah, 4. Okay.
Regardless, 4. 3.5, 4, it doesn't matter. Okay. It just turns into a push instead of a win at 4 and 3.5, obviously. Rather have the 3.5 if you still out there, go lay the 3.5. But San Francisco played probably the worst half they're going to play all playoffs in the first half against Seattle. And there needed to be all sorts of idiocy at the end of that half for them to be down at halftime.
That squib kick was
the
so
squib
bad.
Kick was the worst squib kick you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Then you needed the 15-yard penalty on top of that.
Jimmy Ward.
And then you needed Myers to make a long kick on top of that.
How great was Myers this year?
Well, look, former Jet kickers are great elsewhere. Adam knows that as well. Nick Folk turned into Vinatieri Jr. in New England. regardless, the Niners are the best team in the NFC. And even though I was on Tampa on Monday night, I'm not taking anything from what Dallas did on Monday night.
Yes.
Because it was apparent early in that game, and Adam brought this up with the coaching at Tampa Bay, we finally found a dude who's much worse than McCarthy. It's Todd Bowles. And they had no idea how to adjust in game. They had no idea what to do. Brady threw the ball 66 times, which is a joke. But here's the difference. Tampa's offensive line sucked the whole year. San Francisco's offensive line is really good. And I think they'll be able to block Dallas. And also, too, you mentioned this last week. I brought it up. I didn't think it was going to happen last week. But we might be at the point now where the Brock Purdy blow-up game might just not happen this year. It might not happen.
And here it comes. Brock Birdie back to the pass.
I knew that was coming.
Uh-oh, forces. Oh, he strips Adam. Look out. The Dallas Cowboys are going the other way.
And in all honesty, Gil, if the Purdy blow up happens, I hope it happens in the Super Bowl against the Bengals. That's all I'll say. But I'm laying the floor with the Niners. They're much better. They have more rest as well. Cowboys short week.
So that's the big thing. And it's cross-country as well.
Cross-country, short rest. Niners are better. They'll win. They'll cover. Lay the floor with San Fran.
Your point about, we talked about how, do the Giants deserve credit for crushing Minnesota? No, Minnesota's fugazi. Do the Cowboys deserve credit for crushing the Bucks? No, because the Bucks suck. And yeah, I mean, look, can that Cowboys defense on paper create problems for Brock Purdy that he's never seen? Certainly the best defense he's ever played. But again, this gets back to the whole Kyle Shanahan. We talked about Joe Gibbs earlier. I like to think of Kyle Shanahan in that same vein. Kyle Shanahan made RG3 great. He made Matt Ryan great. He made Brock Purdy look great. So again,
Jimmy G.
Yeah, I just think they have enough talent around him. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel. They have so much talent where Brock Purdy can be successful. So yeah, eventually if he does have the clunker, people are going to come, I told you he was going to have the clunker. Yes, eventually you're going to be right. That doesn't make you right for all the weeks you weren't, right? So I just think I agree with you, the best team in the NFC. I don't think highly, the Cowboys are Jekyll and Hyde as is. They're the most Jekyll and Hyde team in football. I don't feel like the Niners defense is going to allow much. I really don't. Like, I think Dak probably played not as great of a game as he had, but how wide open was CeeDee Lamb? you don't think the Niners are going to take care of Dalton Schultz? I do. I can't believe this line crashed. Give me I'll lay the four happily.
The other thing too, and we mentioned it, this is a massive coaching advantage in this game.
Shanahan
massive coaching advantage. And Ryan's over Moore. I mean, this is a massive coaching advantage for San Francisco.
Adam, is this one of your picks?
No, it's not. But since taking over as the starter, I thought this was interesting. Brock Purdy leads the NFL in time to throw as well as open receivers downfield. And that's the praise to Kyle Shanahan, that scheme and what that does, alleviating the burden of a guy like Purdy stepping in. So
now, I will say,
people keep calling for it, but Shanahan's really sort of masking any issues there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great point. And I will say this, I will make this concession that for as many favorable things that happened to Brock Purdy, we talked about itch on this show earlier, right? Interceptions that should happen
last week.
That dude is on a great itch run.
Yeah.
There are some really bad passes that never seem to get picked off with him, where I'm like, wow, another one just hit the, how many Seahawks did you see diving helplessly to catch a pass? So there is that. But he's been as great as they could have possibly expected, more so. And I do think the offseason with the Niners is going to be, there are going to be so many fascinating things in the offseason with Lamar Jackson, with Tom Brady, but the Niners quarterback situation is top of the heap to me.
They make the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter what happens. Purdy's got to be the starter week one.
That's what I said to Kelly yesterday.
Yeah.
Forget winning it. Let's just say they get there.
Yeah.
You're really starting Trey Lance over this dude? No, you're never.
Are we sure Trey Lance is even on the team next year?
Jimmy G's probably not going to be on the team.
I feel confident, right? Jimmy G's not going to be there, but don't be surprised, especially with Tennessee hiring San Francisco's director of player personnel as their GM. Don't be surprised if that ends up happening.
Am I snaking? Are we snaking, or are we just going back to Adam? Let's go back to Adam. Number two.
Well, what's etiquette here? Do I do another Saturday so they're both Saturday?
No,
or do I do a Saturday
and
a Saturday?
Well, you have to pick your second best
one,
Adam, regardless of day.
I've got both of them neck and neck here. And because we'll talk about the Chiefs in the teaser side, I'll leave it. But I'll stick with San Francisco, Dallas. I'll go over 45.5. Everything we just mentioned about San Francisco, I think bodes well against the Dallas defense. And then what I would say on the other side too, is if you get a situation where the Niners lead, which I think all of us are confident in, the Cowboys' biggest weakness all year was defending the run, especially in the middle of the field, where San Francisco can be incredibly efficient. And we obviously didn't see that against the Buccaneers, who threw 65 times and ran it only 6 or 7, whatever it was. And so if the Niners are leading, I think there's a path where they continue to move the football. And if I get the Cowboys in chase mode, that bodes well one way or the other. You're either going to have potential for big plays downfield with the three wide receivers that they have against the Niners secondary. They're good when the pass rush is getting home, but like there were Seahawks receivers running open that were never hit by Geno Smith. So I think there's potential if the Cowboys are chasing for some quick scores or some bad mistakes to go back the other way. And so I think it's a spot where in the second half we can see it go back and forth. So I go over 45 and a half.
Over 45.
It's actually for Jeff made an executive decision.
46,
it's 46. Fair? Yeah, 46. 46. Good. 46 is good.
It wasn't me, Jeff.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes, it was Adam, my fault. It was Jeff. It was my fault.
Yeah, that's good. Yes. Jeff was over 46.
Jeff's such a bad human being.
I know. It's such a stickler.
Well, I already take enough heat as it is. I don't need to take that heat.
What's your second, Toddy?
My second pick is going to be I'm going back to the tried and the true. I like Jacksonville Jaguar games over. I've liked them all year over. They went over last week, just like when I picked them.
53, Toddy.
You don't see the 52 and a half? So I do.
I see 152 and a half.
Fine, over 53.
That'll over, be a stickler to you, Toddy.
Over 53 in the Chiefs and the Jags. I've been saying that the Jags are a great over team because they have a good offense and a horrible defense. And it doesn't. I went back and I looked at the game. The game was 27-17, which is 44. And you're going to say, well, Todd, 44 is below 52. Why are you doing that? That doesn't make sense, right? That's what you're going to say.
Is that your Andre Ware?
No, that was like, you know, that was my smarty pants people. So
I'm still recovering from Andre Ware.
I went back and I looked through that game. First of all, Jacksonville had 1 9-minute drive. They also, both teams were like inside the 10 and didn't score a couple of times. Also, Kansas City averaged 7.8 yards per play. 7.8 yards per play in an NFL game.
Is that good?
That's a lot of yards per play. Mm-hmm. That's like that's almost as good as Ohio State against San Jose State. It's a lot. Well, you just more like 9.2.
Spartans.
Okay. 7.8 is a lot of yards per play. So I don't see why Jacksonville has done nothing to show me that they're good on defense. They haven't been good on defense all year. Last week, were they good on defense? I don't think so. I don't see why the Kansas City Chiefs aren't going to go up and down the field on them. Conversely, the Kansas City Chiefs love to give you backdoor touchdowns. In fact, they're one of the most generous backdoor touchdown defenses that I've ever seen. They gave up one in the last game as well against
Jacksonville. The door is open. Walk through it.
Sure. You want a backdoor touchdown? We're up three. Have one. Have an onside kick while you're at it. Have some fries. Whatever you want. They hate covering the spread, but they love giving up the backdoor touchdown, and they gave up one in that game as well. I don't see why this game can't be 35-20 or something like that. Why not? 35-13 late, they get the touchdown, we go over.
Can I tell a Wishnev story? Because Wishnev was doing the play-by-play earlier, which I'm sure everybody enjoyed. We were at lunch after tennis the other day, and at the Raiders Grill at the M, and they have TVs of all kinds of sporting events. So they were showing the Berrettini-Murray match from the night before on the screen. And sometimes I should really keep my thoughts to myself as opposed to saying them out loud when Todd is around. Because I said to him, I was like, imagine if, like, tennis play-by-play, instead of having an economy of words, imagine if they were like, there's a forehand, there's a backhand, there's a forehand, there's a backhand, there's a smash, there's a volley, right? So I said this out loud like an idiot. Because uh-oh, then Wishnev, in that same voice that he just did, as loud as possible, launches into this. And
Berrettini with a forehand. Oh, so, hallelujah. What a backhand return defensively. Oh, Berrettini with another
Jeff,
topspin.
I am on the bench of the booth, cowering under the table.
Well, I don't blame you.
As the restaurant just
turns.
Just, I don't know this guy. I'm so sorry.
You were also laughing very hard.
I was laughing my ass off. But it was just like this. He has no compunction to do that. Anyway, by the way, if we have the same pick here, I'm going to go first because I don't want to catch your drift this time. What do you got?
I think we both know what it is.
You got the Bengals.
Happy Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead, Gil. You go first.
Just same way with the Niners. I don't understand this line move.
What are we giving you? 5.5?
5.5. It's a 6
there's
here behind
six,
us, but it's 5.5. So I guessed 2.5 on this game on guessing lines. All right, maybe I'm low. But the fact that this didn't come my direction and went the other way after the 4.5 is amazing to me. And I get it. There's three offensive linemen. They have a lot of offensive lineman problems. Talked about Lael Collins and Jonah Williams and
Kappa
being the third. And so I get it. There's that. But Joe Burrow, this side of Tom Brady, has the quickest release in all of the NFL. And I think that is being super overrated in all of this. The other thing is, the Buffalo Bills, I must not be watching the same sport that everybody else is. For a half a year now, a half a season, and I get it, they've won all of these games. So shout out to the Buffalo Bills, and great for them. But they're not the same team that we thought they were.
They're fraudulent, right?
We're going to get rid of the really fraudulent teams. Buffalo's like elite fraudulent, I think. Now, I could go. This could end up going back to my face because DVOA, they were number one offense, defense, and special teams at Football Outsiders. I'm not saying they're a bad football team. I'm just saying they're not as good as the other really good ones. And I think we have enough evidence to show that. The other thing, while I was watching the Bills-Dolphins game, I kept texting Felica and Will Hill, what happened to the Josh Allen tucks the ball under and run play? Where did that go? Do they not do it? Do they think
they only do that when they think they can lose?
Their offense is not that dynamic that they shouldn't be doing that. And by the way, the next game when Daniel Jones was doing it 1,000 times, I was like, why didn't the Bills do that? I love keep giving me points. I'll take the 5.5. I think Cincinnati is a really solid football team. We can't say this. It was 7-3 in the game with the DeMar Hamlin game. Cincinnati got screwed here probably that they're not getting the home game. Give me that chip on the shoulder. I like the Bengals.
Let me just say one thing really quick because it comes back to what Adam said before.
Yeah.
This is a perfect example of the kind of game where you're watching, and if you see that the Cincinnati Bengals 3 offensive linemen can actually block,
yes,
then you're going to win.
Great.
Correct. And if you see that the offensive linemen cannot block,
great point,
you're going to lose.
Go.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a great point. It's a great example of an in-game scenario where you're going to have to see what the narrative is that Cincinnati can't block. If they can block, look out!
Look out. You're right, but I'm going to bet that pre-flop that it's not going to matter. And that Joe Burrow's quick release is the kryptonite for that.
You know what quarterback has recently had a ton of playoff success with a really bad offensive line?
I believe Joe Burrow, Adam.
Joe Burrow. That's right. With an offensive line that was worse than this a year ago. But now it's doom and gloom. I don't get it.
Thank God you're on the same
side. So I'll add, because I'm on Cincinnati as well, this is a principal pick for me. Because, Gil, what have I been doing all
principled
year?
Principled wager.
What have I been doing all year on this podcast? I've been saying that Buffalo being crowned the champion by some this year was idiocy. I'll do the bet and flip as well, Donnie.
My favorite thing is when Jeff uses his hand to the talk. It is a supremely entertaining.
But regardless, I've always thought Buffalo was a good football team. I never thought they were ever a great football team this year. And if Mike McDaniel was better last week, Miami might have won that game with Skylar freaking Thompson playing quarterback.
I actually at one point said, are they really going to let Skylar Thompson come in here and beat them?
Again, Skylar Thompson's numbers were horrendous last week. I don't think he played as badly as his numbers did.
He was
did.
Horrendous.
No, but
they tried to hand the game to them.
Todd, he had a lot of drop
passes. But Waddle dropped two big ones. Gesicki doesn't freaking alligator arm the big one, which was Thompson's best throw today by far.
You're wrong about Skylar.
I don't think he was good. Yeah. But
it wasn't as bad as I said.
It wasn't as bad as the numbers said. Indicated. Yep. But here's the deal, and this seemingly is forgotten for some reason with this, because all the narrative is, how is Cincinnati going to block with 3 backup linemen? The Bills' pass rush has sucked without Von Miller.
Great point.
They've been terrible. Yes. They don't get pressure unless if they blitz.
Yep.
And look, the only offensive line that they actually played well against in the last month was the Jets' offensive line, which Adam knows as well as me. The Jets' offensive line the last 6 weeks of the season was garbage, 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 garbage.
But you know whose offensive line was excellent down the stretch? I'll tell you who. They started all 5 of them all season. That's right, the Pittsburgh Stars. Thank you.
So we had to get that in. Yeah. But here's the deal. Adam brought this up too. Adam is 100% right with Joe Burrow, I'm agreeing with the guest. But Joe Burrow's offensive line was dreadful last year.
Yes.
And they were 10 yards away from tying the Super Bowl with under a minute to go.
He got sacked 9 times by the Titans.
The Titans.
And then 7 in the next week, I think.
21 down 21-3 to Kansas City, who was on top of being able to get pressure against that bad offensive line, was a better team, and Burrow still found a way to beat them. You're telling me Burrow can't go on the road to a defense that I don't think is particularly good against a quarterback who's, by the way, Josh Allen led the league in turnovers. Let's not forget that.
Very loose with the football.
Very loose with the football. Loose last week.
Yep.
Almost cost them completely.
Yep.
They can play this game within 5.5.
Saying is you like Joe Jesus Burrow.
Burrow, quarterback rating-wise, the only dude who's better than Burrow at this point is Mahomes. The only dude.
This is what I'm saying. I like these games way too much. Yeah. Like, I don't understand
these
moves.
You're both going down on this one. It's trouble.
I feel it
in my bones.
We'll know early.
The Bills.
Has there ever been a week this year where I've have this much conviction on games?
The Bills looked so bad last week. You know they're going to come out and play amazing.
Of course.
Adam, who are the other ones? I want to hear the other ones that Adam likes that he couldn't jam into his two picks. So what are the other ones you liked?
Well, I was looking at the Chiefs at 8.5. I know there were thoughts on the total there, but I think this is a season early for Jacksonville in this spot. That was a lot to come back last week, second half. Now you go into Arrowhead, Chiefs off the bye, and it's a Jags defense. They struggle against running backs. They struggle against tight ends, among the worst in the league at defending both of those. Chiefs have two pretty good ones in Jerick McKinnon and Travis Kelce. And so it's like, I don't know what makes the Chiefs offense uncomfortable from a Jags matchup perspective. I'm looking at that one. I think that number's a little bit short, similar to the Eagles do.
But besides that, Mrs. Lincoln, what did you think about the play? I mean, you're right. That's pretty thorough. I'm with you. Again, I don't like to lay those kind of points either, but I'm not betting the Jaguars.
Just take the over because you know that Kansas City's going to give him some touchdowns.
We'll get to the teaser segment, but I think I think everyone knows what's coming.
No, but before we get to the teaser, can I ask Adam,
can I hop in real quick before here? The weather in Kansas City this week, cloudy early with periods of light rain and snow later in the day. Remember, this is a 3:30 kick locally. So mixed winter precipitation possible. So good luck to you on that one.
Todd forgets to check the Doppler.
I did forget to check the Doppler. It was my bad.
You got a coin flip chance that it's nothing. So
what's the one game you didn't touch on, Adam, which is the,
I was going to mention Bills Bengals under, but that one's come down. So I played that earlier in the week, a little bit indifferent. Now, what I would say is that the weather could have an impact. There's like storms bracketing the game, and you never know what's going to happen in Buffalo, but there's snow early, there's snow late, and then there's this window in the afternoon where it's allegedly clear with 13 mile per hour winds. But if that
kicks
up a little bit more, changes
33
low 30s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you have Allen and Burrow, so it's not, I mean, two quarterbacks that can handle it, but where I was going with that too, on top of it. So the Bills, like you mentioned, Jeff, like they're not blitzing. They're not having a lot of success with the pass rush. They're content to keep everything in front. The Bengals, with how quickly they're getting rid of the football, now the offensive line issues, it's going to be a game where Burrow's throwing a ton, but short. So the Bills are probably going to be pretty content leaving all of that in front of them and preventing the big play. And then on the other hand, I think Lou Anarumo's been really credited with these adjustments during the game, not just specifically at halftime, but really good defensive coordinator. He got to see sort of two really good scripted drives from the Bills in that first meeting. Obviously the game was stopped. But I do think that liability to defending the outside is something that Anarumo can sort of adjust to coming into this meeting again, which could slow down some of the big production from Diggs, who's still going to have a big game. But I think just the Bills maybe tighten up a bit, run a little bit more against the Cincinnati defense. And that's kind of a slower moving offense. So I was looking at that total when it was a little higher, thinking it was too big. If there's going to be weather, this number is still going to come down too.
What were your prop bets that you wanted to mention, Adam?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents.
Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say "free this week" into your Xfinity voice remote.
So McKinnon rushing yards over was really, really short, which was surprising. I think the Chiefs lead. He's going to be the guy that's on the field a lot. Pacheco's going to get time too, but he was priced at 21.5 rushing yards. So to me, that was short, and it's good up to anything less than 25. And then one I'm sort of sitting on, and we'll wait and see what comes of it. If you can find Burrow completions somewhere in like the mid-20s, I think that's one of the better props you're going to get all playoffs, because like I just mentioned, the Bills, they'll concede everything in front. The Bengals are not going to try run behind that offensive line. It's going to be Burrow with these short passes to really good receivers. That, to me, looking over anything on that completion prop is going to be really, really good. So that's
Burrow, what about Burrow rushing yards, which are probably a low number, and the fact that if he gets pressured, he might sneak out of there and make a big run, and therefore it might be a good over. What do you think of that?
He's been priced at like 7 or 8 rushing yards. So there's certainly something to that. You see QBs run a lot more in these sort of obviously bigger games, higher leverage spots.
But also if they can't block for him, he might have to sneak out of there.
He might have to, for sure. I think, Todd, I'd be more inclined to go the other side with Allen. And we were talking how that disappeared. Yeah. Right. I think in a game like this, especially if there's a chance of a little weather, we'll see Allen run more.
I agree with that
as well. So,
what's his number?
So
usually?
I think that's of the two I'd look that way.
I got them both right now in front of me.
What do you have?
11.5 on Burrow rushing, so a little higher than it's been. And then Allen is 44.5 with heavy juice on the over.
Right, because
Allen's been like a high 30s, low 40s guy all season. So that's, again, you always get that little adjustment up in these games. But to me, 44 for Allen, that's still a little bit short.
Let me ask one other thing before we get to our teasers and our final two questions, which is obviously the Cowboys win over the Bucks. The biggest sort of fascinating point of that game with the Cowboys coming out is Brett Maher, who had by all measures a great season. He ends up missing not one, not two, not three, but quattro extra points.
I love his show on Friday nights, Real Time with Brett Maher.
I like Patrick Maher's show here on VSiN as much.
But by it's the way, not spelled the same way as
By the
Bill
way, it's Maher and Maher, but Bill's is Mar. That's how they pronounce it, right?
But it's M-A-H-E-R, and I don't think that the guy on VSiN is M-A-H-E-R.
He's M-E-A-G-H-E-R.
Yeah, so he doesn't count. He's out.
Anyway, the point of my question is this, and I'm not. My question is there any bettable, actionable thing here? This could be an interesting scenario, right? Because let's say, first of all, the Cowboys just signed Vizcaíno today as just sort of a practice squad.
Fourth and four from the 34?
Is that Let me just finish my sentence. They just signed Vizcaíno today. I don't even know his first name.
Tristan
Vizcaíno. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Jose Vizcaíno.
That's the Yankees player.
I knew he was going to do something.
Come on now.
Yes.
Come on, Todd.
Yes, it's Jose Vizcaíno.
Jose Vizcaíno, yeah.
So,
that guy kicks,
but,
too.
But let's say he's pushing Maher at practice. But let's say it's Maher. And there's a couple things, right? Let's say he misses the first extra point. Let's say the Cowboys score. That would assume that they would score, and he misses the first extra point. I mean, doesn't that at that point what you
fourth
were just
and four
saying
from the 34? They're going to have to go for it
at that point. That's what they're going to do, right?
But what is that? What? How, so that's what I mean. That mean for the game?
That's what I'm asking. It's feast or famine in that
maybe
case,
over?
Right? Yeah, because they make it, and the drive continues.
They don't.
They miss
it. Field position.
The drive continues. Right, you know what I mean? The other way. So I don't know if that's an actionable thing or not, but it certainly is an interesting point that we've never really had.
Well, Adam Lake's over 46 already, so maybe it's another reason to like
maybe.
Over.
Yeah, I didn't. Honestly, I never. But what we did see was against the Bucks. So they were up. What was it? 28 at that point. 24 at that point. He went on to try kick, and Moore brought him back. It was after he missed. It was either he missed 3 or 4, but they showed the sideline. He was getting ready to jog on, and Moore yanked them back, and they went for it and then scored the touchdown to put it away. So that's something we've already seen kind of happen. So that's certainly something that's out there for sure.
It's amazing.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that kept the game under those missed extra points. Even it survived an onside kick at the end being recovered too. But that's the only reason that game went under. Anyway, just a point. If we're trying to think of every possible angle. All right, Adam, we're not even going to go around the horn with the teasers. I'm going to let you speak for everybody and give out what should be everybody's teaser.
if I had the choice and it was best bet of the week, I would have gone Chiefs, Eagles, tees down. And I think we're all in agreement. This is probably going to be viewed as the most bet teaser ever. I don't know if it turns out to be, but I mean,
that can't possibly be good.
Yes, that's also a great point.
Here's the way I look at that is like, we all agree that there's value on this. And I think the Chiefs number moves up. And if we get closer and there's any indication that Hurts is healthier than perceived to be, I mean, that number is certainly going up too. But like, we all agree that there's value on this teaser and it's worth betting. And we're going to see it all mentioned about how, like, I think sometimes people talk themselves out of making the obvious bet because they don't want to be with everybody else.
I agree.
But my thinking there is like, there are so many people who are betting sports in the United States, and a fraction are represented in any of those tweets and thoughts. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to be popular, but you have to make this bet.
What is the Chiefs line, though? Are they 9 or are they 8.5?
No, they're 8.5.
See that thing in front of you, Todd? It's called a microphone. Oh. Say again. What'd you say?
I said, is it 8.5 or 9 on the Chiefs?
8.5.
So you could still get the 2.5 and the 1.5.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. We're all in agreement. I mean, there's nothing to really add. Like, and I think you're right. I think there is. This could be the most popular teaser ever. But you're right. There's no way of knowing for sure about that. But boy, the books will, let's say, make out if either the Giants or Jaguars win this outright. Oh boy.
Oh, they'll blow up all the money line parlays. Yeah. They'll be out there too.
If I had to do another one, I would do the Bengals not to lose by more than 11.5. 11 being a key number nowadays, sort of.
I would agree with you. The only non-teasable game is the other one, the Niners-Cowboys. By the way, Andy Murray came back to win a five-setter against Tanasi Kokkinakis. So he's had two.
Oh, Tanasi Kokkinakis?
He's had two.
Or Jose Vizcaino.
Oh, God. He's had two five-setters in a row now, Berrettini and Kokkinakis. He's 35 years old. Oh, he had Kokkinakis throwing his record. Look at Murray.
That looks a little bit like Gil Alexander down at Lifetime.
Did you see that clip where they wouldn't let him go to the bathroom?
Oh, no. They wouldn't let him. Really?
Played the fifth set. He had to go to the bathroom. They wouldn't let him. He had to play the fifth set holding it in.
Murray or Kokkinakis?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they let him? What was that all about?
Something about the tournament rules. I don't know the full extent of it, but there's a Twitter clip about it, and he's just going off on the bench. So that was an interesting situation.
See, when I'm crushing Gilly in tennis, as I do daily now, I always let him go to the bathroom. He can go whenever he wants.
Yeah, except for Todd's the one who goes 5 times. All right, final two questions, and it applies to division round. It'll probably be the last time we ask these two questions this year. Of the big favorites, and there's only two. It's the Chiefs and the Eagles on Saturday. If, you know, who's the most likely between those two to lose?
Chiefs.
Adam?
Well, I hope neither. That would really put a damper on the weekend.
If I come to you from the future and I said, oh my God, one of them lost, who is that team?
Chiefs.
You think it's the Chiefs?
I just don't see the Eagles.
I think
losing.
It's the Eagles. I think it's the Eagles. Because I think you could make the case that familiarity would be the answer to that question. I'm not saying it's going to happen either, but just because some jackass asks it every week. Oh, that's me. I'm sorry. That would be my answer. How the Chiefs lose it? Adam just went through like 6
Mahomes
different
could throw
reasons.
A bunch of interceptions. Peterson could pull something out of his tuchus with like onside kicks or something. You know, he onside kicked in that first game in the first kickoff of the game. And
yeah, and they recovered and got nothing.
Okay, but it actually worked. They got an extra possession out of it.
You know what didn't get a lot of Twitter response last week, Todd? Your push the tuchus.
The tuchus push.
Didn't get it. The tuchus push didn't get much.
Everybody?
Yeah, no one has a sense of humor.
Look, it's not about a sense of humor. It's about the correct way to execute the tuchus push. If you push the tuchus, you got to get down low and leverage. You ever see those Brian Baldinger clips on Twitter? He gives you a good tuchus push
Brian Baldinger.
Primer.
Brian Baldinger wants to show that pinky, doesn't he? He wants to show everybody that pinky.
It's the A gap, and if you see the first tuchus cheek is in the A gap, and the other one's a little bit off. You got to get up underneath the tuchus for the first.
I do think that you know that's legal now for the running backs to push the quarterback. I've seen it fail exactly one time. Gardner Minshew somehow didn't get the inches that he needed with the tuchus push. I feel like it's almost an unfair thing now.
They're probably going to alter the
rule. Why is it unfair? Everybody could do it.
Yeah, but it's like the defense has no chance, dude.
Well, obviously they did have a chance because they stopped Minshew, right?
Yeah, because Gardner Minshew was literally
Gardner Minshew
like this.
The defense had three chances
on first down, second down, and third down and couldn't stop him either.
And also, by the way, Tom Brady used to do the quarterback keep without the tuchus push.
That's a legitimate
The original non-tuchus push sneak and made it every single time forever. I don't think he ever not made it.
I wonder if Brady refers to his sneak technique as the non-tuchus push.
There's no tuchus pushing at all.
Do you think Tom Brady in his life has ever said the word tuchus?
No chance.
No chance.
No chance.
Yeah, he's
take
pretty
the under.
He's pretty.
I'll take under. Yeah,
I'll take the under. 0.5 under.
I'll go with Philadelphia.
You never think he said, "Hey, that Giselle, what a tuchus."
I don't.
No artful segue. Philadelphia. Look, just one of those where. Kansas City's been in this scenario so many times now with Mahomes where you expect them to handle their business against a team they're much
Absolutely.
Better than.
Yeah.
And for Philadelphia, this is the first time. Because even when they won the Super Bowl, remember, they were an underdog to the Falcons. They were a coin flip game against Minnesota. No one gave them a chance against New England. This is like the first time the Eagles are in Super Bowl or bust territory since the McNabb years. So I wonder how they handle that. I know none of those guys are there, but I wonder how they handle it as a whole, and I wonder how that crowd reacts if the Eagles get off to a crappy start.
He's just killing you all.
Okay,
I was just doing Jeffrey. I wonder.
Yeah,
this is the best one. Is the full
I actually really enjoy it. I do.
I know.
He goes lefty with the arm.
You're good.
All right, and this is a pretty relevant question this week because I like everything. But if you couldn't pick one of these, if you had to pick a side in three of these four games, or bet a side in three of these four games, but you did get one pass, which is the game you'd rather not bet?
I don't want the Bengals
of the
game
four.
At
Can
all.
You just stay in line for once? God. Oh, my God. It's like chaperoning a hyperactive kid around town. By the way, I've received a very generous cash offer from one of Todd's friends in Pittsburgh who legitimately wants to give me money to keep Todd here. True story.
Oh, wow.
It is a true story.
The reverse barter.
I told him there's not enough
the
money.
The reverse barter.
The old reverse barter move. That's right.
Good call by Adam.
All right, Adam, what's a game you would want no part of?
From the side perspective, I think San Francisco, Dallas.
Really?
I think that would be it from the side.
We almost got out of here unscathed. Really?
Todd, what are you picking?
I don't want to do the Bengals game pregame because I want to see if them guys can block in that.
Jeff and I are sharing a brain. I know what he's going to say. He's going to say Eagles-Giants.
Yeah.
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 Me too.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, the Eagles just, and maybe it's just because we haven't seen them, but there is a little bit of Eagles thing in my head that I'm just like, I could see them throwing up a dud.
I mean, them winning by a field goal wouldn't stun me by any stretch.
By the way, let me just say, I'm only betting Eagles or not in that game.
By the way, Gil, you would have been very proud. We have the VEASAN Survivor playoff pool going. I took the Giants last round.
Nice. Oh, very smart.
Which was a very, very good strategic play. And now I have Philadelphia this week.
I am in
the Survivor pool.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
I'm in an Australian Open Survivor.
How's that going?
I got knocked out of the men's side the first round.
You had Kokkinakis, didn't you?
But I am down to the final five on the ladies' side.
Should have went Vizcaino.
Yeah, I picked Jose Vizcaino, and somehow he didn't win.
Jose Vizcaino, 4-for-5 last night, but today, 6-2, 6-3, 6-1.
Todd doing tennis play-by-play at the Raiders Grill at the M.
Yeah, by the way, Greg Roman just got fired.
Really?
Yeah.
Greg Roman, who people believe is a genius?
Yeah. So, wonder how that changes the Lamar Jackson calculus.
So, before we leave here, let's just talk about that. So, Tom Brady, we can't bet these here in Nevada because they don't exist. But Tom Brady, in order of short shot, was, I think it actually was the Bucks first, but now it's the Raiders are the short shot, and then the Bucks, and then it's the Niners. After that, which
not
he has
happening.
Hometown ties to.
Not happening.
And then it is the Dolphins and the Patriots. Patriots used to play there. Dolphins, remember there was the Sean Payton, Tom Brady, Michel Gus from the other time. I actually think I would bet the Dolphins on it, +750.
What is this for Tom
Brady? Brady's next team.
Enough with this guy. I'm so tired.
He hates hypotheticals. Ugh. And the Lamar Jackson thing, the Jets, you guys, Adam Chernoff and Jeff Parles, your New York Jetropolitans, which I think is where Jets comes from.
Yeah, I think so.
He's a short shot, plus 250. The Jets are the short shot for Lamar Jackson.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Oh. That would just be joy and elation.
See, what Adam is saying is exactly how I feel, because people like to kill Lamar Jackson, but if he became the starting quarterback of the Washington Commodores tomorrow, I would lose my shit.
Of course. You would love it.
Oh, it'd be awesome. The only problem is it would be, and Adam knows this as well as I do, that Lamar Jackson is absolutely getting hurt in like the fifth game and we're not seeing him again for the rest of the
season. Wait, is Adam a big Jets fan? Is that why you guys keep saying that? Yeah. Adam, why do you like the Jets if you're in Canada? Shouldn't you like the Edmonton Elks?
We had 13 TV channels growing up, and all of the U.S. four channels that we had were Rochester, New York affiliated stations.
Oh, wow.
My best friend was a Giants fan.
Wait, were you in Toronto?
And so by nature, I had to become a Jets fan.
Were you in Toronto?
I was in northeastern Saskatchewan.
Okay.
Isn't that in the middle?
It's in the middle. And so once it turned like 13 or 14, it shifted to where we got Minnesota channels.
Right.
The seed had already been planted as a Jets fan.
He's a fully formed.
In spite of my friend.
Right. I don't understand. Why would they give you Rochester if they have other American cities that are much closer to Saskatchewan? That's what I didn't understand.
Questions I don't have answers to on that one.
Todd,
but we had
this is like you asking me about vacation. So we're at the same lunch. We're sitting down at lunch.
Minnesota.
And Todd keeps, he goes, "What do you do on vacation?" I go, "I wake up in the morning, I'll go to the beach."
Because I just don't understand.
Todd can't let you finish the sentence, so he goes, "Well, that's 10 minutes, then what?" I'm like, "It's not 10 minutes." People who go to a beach stay on the beach, they go in the water, they sit out.
No, I go in the water and then I go back. It's over.
He goes, "Then what do you do?" This lasted for 10 minutes, grilling me on what one does on vacation.
I'm not the only one who hates the beach. There cannot possibly be. I'm the only one that thinks it's boring sitting there all day. And
I was just worried that you were going to, for 10 minutes, grill Adam on why he got Rochester channels, doesn't know.
It didn't make sense to me. I would think a Minnesota station would make more sense because I know Saskatchewan's in the middle.
Adam, I will say this. I wonder, and again, this may be too simplistic, I wonder if you were supposed to get Rochester, Minnesota all those years and you got Rochester, New York instead.
They made an error.
That's a good call, Jeffrey.
And
so now you're just a Jets fan because of your, I like that. I like that you stayed with your hometown team.
Can never switch. Once you pick it early, you're stuck for life.
In Canadian football, who are you with in Canadian football?
Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Saskatchewan Roughriders. Okay, there you go. Big Saskatchewan Edmonton Elks game coming. I bet you don't even know all the team names in Canadian football, Gilly.
Oh, Todd's about to wow us with his CFL.
I don't know them all either. I know BC Lions.
It's not one singular elk. It's multiple elks.
It's Edmonton Elks. It is Edmonton Elks.
That was a hot debate point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody knew that there was an S at the end. That was a weird one.
Well, why? Because is the plural of elk also elk?
Exactly. And so they added the S and it was,
I see.
It was like a good 3 month news story up here because we don't have much else to talk about.
It's one of my pet peeves too is when your team name is a singular, then the sentence, right? So the Jazz is
Miami Heat,
right? The Heat is,
we used to call them the Heats, the Miami Heats.
Yeah, it drives me crazy when they do that.
Montreal Alouettes.
Okay.
That's a plural, though.
Toronto Argonauts, I believe.
Gil, there you go. Before you list off the whole CFL.
We got to go, for God's sakes. All right, Adam, appreciate it very much. Thank you, as always. Right Angle Sports, where Adam comes on, follow the money on, sometimes on VSiN and gives out picks. I think you do that. But I know that Michael Craig has done it on my show on A Numbers Game, and we watch the global lines move together.
Now he has to fake everybody. He has to go, like, let's say he likes the Niners. He goes, "Well, I like the cow," and all the lines. Niners!
Oh, yeah, they have a whole system. I'll speak for you guys, Adam. Sorry. A whole system where, like, Mike Craig comes on here, and they'll be like, and I don't know if Adam invented the system or however they came to it, but it's like, they'll give a rotation number, college hoops or college football, right? Give a rotation number, a side or a total. And then if he says go, it's a bet. Everybody puts it in their bet slip. We give him 30 seconds. If it says go, it's a bet. If it's a cancel, we do it all over again. And so that's the way you sort of...
Why does that help, Adam? Did we lose Adam?
Oh, I think we froze on Adam.
Frozen.
Oh, he's frozen. All right. Well, I guess that means we're supposed to go. But anyway, thank you to Adam. Yeah, he's gone.
Why do you think he does that?
They do that because they don't want exactly what you just said. They don't want it. Like, they want everybody having a fair shot at their pick.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you to Adam Chernoff. I'll thank
good
him
to see there. You, Adam.
Yeah, he's down. Yeah. Thank you to Adam Chernoff from Right Angle Sports. Thank you to Todd Wishnev. We're about to go play tennis. Thank you to Jeffrey Parlay, who, by the way, why don't we see you playing tennis anymore? What's going on with you?
I played against Todd a week ago.
He did play one time, but he claimed he was going to play all the time, and he hasn't played all the time.
He's a tennis flaker.
Typical Jeffrey Parles flaking he's a tennis flaker. On Great. Tennis. Great. If he had the same emotions for showing up to tennis that he does when he makes his arguments with his hands,
that's right.
Everybody would be in the money.
Parlay, Lovely. Do you believe that – are you familiar with the USTA tennis rating system?
Yes.
What do you believe Todd is?
I think actually 4.25 is about right. Like wow. In between a 4.5 and a 4.
Well, then
right.
I don't feel that bad.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Because there's a reason why I can't solve you because you're a 4.25. The problem is I have a buddy in Florida who's ranked, forget rating, he's ranked in Florida for his age group. He says he's a 4.0. I think he would destroy you.
Maybe.
So that's why I think there's something.
I'm not standing behind any
for,
of this.
For what, yeah. For what it's worth, it is kind of an inexact science for yeah. Non-professionals.
For sure.
But yeah. I think Todd's somewhere in between a 4 and a 4.5.
Give yeah. me give me a rating, Todd. I'm going to go 3.0. Based on the description, I'm going to go 3.0.
I would say you're definitely a negative 0.5.
Wow.
That's not. I'm told that's not good.
There is no negative.
Going with a
I'm sorry, Gil. We don't have a rating for you.
Actually, I will say this. Over the last couple of days, you've gotten a lot better because we've been hitting a lot, and you do seem to be better. But the part of but not being able to
athlete.
Move is part of the problem.
Because I popped my ankle, bruh. All right. Good luck with all your bets this weekend. The divisional round of the National Football League. Thanks for listening.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.